This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Welcome, welcome, good afternoon, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, January 5th, 2015 edition of Invest Talk. Wow, can't believe it's 2015. I remember when I was a kid, and I had 2015, it's going to be amazing, things are going to happen. You know, this is the year that Back to the Future, I think 2, that's where they went, yeah, Back to the Future 2, where they went to the future, it was 2015. They had hoverboards. And we actually have a hoverboard. It's not as robust as it was in the theaters back then, but it's starting to come to fruition. A lot of other great things that are changing everyone's lives. Technology is really changing the world today. And in 2015, while we don't have hoverboards, we have a lot of other things that many people never expected. So we're going to talk about all this and many more on today's Invest Talk. It is a new year, and as always, we welcome our radio listeners, those who hear us streaming live on InvestTalk.com, and of course, our podcast listeners as well. And we thank you for spending this hour with us. Now, as always, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how to reach us during this hour or any time with your questions or comments. You can call that number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave a message. But if you are listening live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, you can call and have a conversation with us. Or you can call in on your own schedule 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ask your question, leave that message, and we will answer it on the next Invest Talk. Now, the market made some big moves today. The Dow fell 331 points, and looks like investors are starting to worry some about falling oil and signs of weaker global economy and maybe a Grexit. Do you remember that term, the Grexit? Translation is Greece exiting the euro. There's some increasing worries about that as they move into an election coming up later this month. So we're going to talk a little about that and many more things coming up in the market in just a little bit. Now, of course, 300-point downslide in the Dow gets everybody's attention, mainly because it's a big number. You know, the 75 points on the S&P is much bigger than 300 points on the Dow. But, you know, most people, they like to see big numbers. And the Dow's only 30 stocks, and the S&P's 500 stocks. So, yeah, I always tell people try not to focus on that. But, you know, it brings everybody to the idea of watching the markets a little closer. Now, are you kind of an investor that watches CNBC all day or checks the market every few minutes on your smartphone? If you're a regular watcher of financial programs, you may have noticed the pattern. It becomes pretty predictable. They bring on the financial forecasters. One says the market will go up, another says the market will go down, and they might even find someone who could manage to disagree with both of them for whatever reason. Now, Ken Weber, who writes for the Huffington Post, asks the question, but do you need to keep following it every day, week, or even every month? You don't check the value of your home or car every day. Why should you bother with checking your investment values every day? So try to take the same attitude with you to stock and bond investments. Understand why you bought something. Reassess it on a regular basis, but just maybe not every single day. I think it's important as a, you know, we're professionals, so we have to watch it every day. I think it's good to for us to watch every day because we see the opportunities. We have the time to analyze all the opportunities and the intricacies of the market. But the average person, you know, they don't really have the time to do those type of things. So it's really about keeping a broader picture when it comes to your financial life. Understanding your budget, understanding your goals, understanding what investments you do have, and why are they appropriate for you. You know, a lot of people, they just own things because they might like the company. Well, is it within your risk tolerance? Do you know what type of historical volatility that company, that industry might exhibit? And would you be comfortable with that in a recession? The reason you own the company, is that something that is still valid today? Those are the things you have to think about, not every day, but on a regular basis. Once a month, once a quarter, once a year. Think about it that way. So try not to get too involved in the minutia of the daily news cycle. Remember, the media outlets, they just care about your interest and your viewership, not necessarily the quality of the information that they're giving you. Now, obviously, they can't just continue to give you bad information. Otherwise, you'll probably stop listening. But they do regularly give bad information that just maybe sounds good or is what people are interested in. You remember the Herbalife thing? Everyone's talking about Herbalife. What did Herbalife really matter? Well, you know, the only reason they kept talking about it is because people kept, for some reason, caring about it and watching it and reading about it. So try not to get really too tied up into what the media is saying, what CNBC is saying, what the big news outlets are saying. Do your own research and, you know, try to keep a broader view of what's going on in the market. Now, when you buy a new stock or fund, do you check it, if you check it every day? Let's get to the phones now and get your voice in the mix. Here's a call from our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our number. It is ready to catch your question anytime.
Hi, I am new to making investments in stocks, and I just want to know how to do it. I made an attempt last week, but I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing. One of the things that my investments went into is the S&P 500, and I'm not exactly sure if that's a stock or a broker. Please give me an answer. Help me get started here. I'd like to do something wise with my money for once. I've done nothing but spend it and spend it and spend it, and hope to hear from you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. That is he's definitely a beginner. It sounds like he's a beginner. And he's in the S&P 500. Well, you're probably in some sort of index fund. It could be a mutual fund, could be an ETF. It's probably one of those two things. Hopefully you didn't get sold an annuity or universal life policy or something like that, because a lot of times those investments will be tied to the S&P. But there's a lot of fees involved. It's just not a good way to be invested in the market in general. So you're probably investing in one of those three ways. I'm pretty sure you didn't go out there and buy all 500 of S&P 500 stocks. So is that a good investment? Well, over the long run, yes, it probably is. Over the short to medium term, you know that I think there's a lot of volatility ahead for the market. With what's going on around the world, lack of liquidity, what's going on in the oil space, it's probably going to be a volatile experience for you. Now, is that something you can handle? What is your risk tolerance? You know, you ask if it's a brokerage account. Well, it's probably held in a brokerage account. You probably opened a brokerage account if you invested in it. But you could buy anything, pretty much, not anything, but most anything publicly traded on the exchange in that brokerage account. And, you know, what you need to do probably is, what I would do is actually step back, just go to cash, sell everything, put it in money market, and do research, read, get educated. Because if you're not, just like anything, if you're not educated about a particular topic, what are the odds that you're going to make a mistake? Probably pretty high, right? If you don't know how to work on a car and you start getting under the hood and messing around and tinkering and moving this and changing this, what are the odds you're going to mess something up? Pretty good. Probably pretty good. So, you know, investing is the same way. And making money in the markets, making money by investing is inherently risky. To some degree, there's always risk. To some degree. And if you don't understand that risk, you're likely going to be very susceptible to that risk. So the first thing you have to do is understand the risks of whatever investments you're interested in. I always tell people, always think of the downside. It's good to be optimistic. And, you know, longer term, very optimistic. You know, we're a country of innovation. We're a country of entrepreneurs. We have great businesses. You know, politically we have issues, but you know, then again, what country doesn't? Are stocks expensive? Yes. Are there areas of the market that are expensive? Absolutely. Are there areas of the market that are cheap? Sure. But, you know, when you're looking to invest, you have to be educated. Why could something be overvalued? Why might it be undervalued? What could change the trajectory of the value of that particular industry or that company? Understand businesses. Understand economics. There's a wide range of things you have to understand when you're trying to make good investment decisions. It's never just one thing. I always say this. Never just one thing. So understand, and it's usually never just one type of risk. I can't think of any investment that just has one type of risk. They usually have multiple types of risk, okay? So first off, step back, sell whatever you got, put it in cash, and make sure when you do go out to make an investment, you're understanding your risk tolerance and the risk level that you will be taking with that investment. Now, we appreciate our podcasters, and just because you listen at off hours doesn't mean you can't be on the program. Invest Talk is produced live every weekday, 4 to 5 Pacific time, and you can talk to us at 888-99-CHART. Help shape the topics. Help shape what we're talking about on the show each and every day. Weigh in and bring your questions and ideas. I want to hear from you. I'm Portfolio Manager Justin Klein, and this is Invest Talk at 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, investors speak out about fixing bad habits for 2015. Now, for others, it's all about staying the course. Will 2015 be a year of change? That's one of our talking points today. And you know, we're talking about what investors are thinking about when they're looking to 2015. What are their goals? What do they want to do for the year? And I think it would be interesting to get the take from, this is from Morningstar, and they polled a lot of their investors. And it's a great site for professionals, average investors to be involved with and get a lot of good information there. And it's interesting to see what these people are saying. And it is in relation to investments, but also kind of maybe personal finance goals as well. So we're going to talk about that and hopefully give you some insight and why it might be important for you to do the same. Then I also want to talk about the announcement by Dish Network, and they're bringing a bundled package of channels, streaming, kind of like Netflix, for $20 a month that includes ESPN, CNN, and many other channels. So this could be they just announced it at CES, they're going to launch it this year, and I want to talk about that because this is going to be the trend, and I think it's coming quicker than most people expect. And then I want to talk a little bit about some predictions for 2015 from the Blackstone advisor and a few other things as well. And we'll reflect on 2014 and look ahead coming up. Now, we want to hear your questions. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Rakesh is holding in Sunnyvale, and he's next on Invest Talk.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. Whether you're an employee or an employer, you should know about the 401k solution from KPP Financial. KPP Financial, as a registered investment advisor, enables employers to offer custom professional asset management to their employees for their 401k accounts. Find out more about it. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin and write 401k. No one will call you, but you'll receive a packet by email.
Let's go to Min in San Diego. How are you doing, Min?
Hi, Justin. How are you doing?
Doing well. What can I do for you?
Yes, Justin. I want to I've been follow up with the UCO. It's an ultra play for the oil play.
Was it UCO?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Go for it.
My biggest concern that can, in the history, is an ETF ever go bankrupt?
No, ETF can't really go bankrupt, but what can happen is it will do a reverse split, constantly do reverse splits. So, you know, this is at $8.92, and, you know, a lot of times they'll do a reverse split, maybe 10 for 1, and it'll suddenly become an $80.92 ETF, but you will get only 10% of the shares. So if you've got 100 shares, now you have 10 shares at $80.92. So that's kind of what happens with these leveraged ETFs, and the that's probably what will happen with this over time.
Okay, so is it do you advise for a long term buy?
Oh no! Absolutely not. This is not something you want to be. This is a trading vehicle. Leveraged ETFs are trading vehicles, and this is UCO. This is twice the daily performance of the Dow Jones UBS WTI crude oil sub-index. So it's twice as volatile as oil prices overall. If you're looking, are you looking to buy oil long-term? Is this what your goal is?
Yes, because my hoping that oil will recover.
Okay.
And this is probably a good buy for a year or two from now.
And are you looking at this? Why? Because it's trading $8.92 and it looks cheap?
No. It's almost hit the support line.
Okay.
If you look at the USO, it almost hit the support line. And I just wonder maybe
if you want to buy just oil, which I wouldn't advise, you know, I would use USO over UCO because, yes, it doesn't have the performance, but it doesn't have the tracking error that these leverage ETFs have either. So if I'm just going that route, then I would go with USO. But I would go with oil companies that pay a dividend, the big oil majors. And I know they don't look cheap. They're not trading at $9 a share, but buy ExxonMobil, buy Chevron, buy, you know, big oil, Halliburton, you know, the big oil service companies that pay you dividends. That's what you want to be invested in. Not this stuff. This is trading crap. This is nothing. You don't want to touch this. You don't even want to think about this. This isn't, if you're looking for a short-term trade, you think oil is going to bounce 10% and you want to play it that way, sure, it could be a vehicle for that. But if you're looking to add something to your portfolio longer term, don't even think about ETFs that don't pay you a dividend. Maybe you look at OIH, which is the service ETF, right? That pays you yields 2.5% right now. It's down a bunch. You get a broad swath of all these oil service companies. And could this go down more? Sure, it could. But you know, they've come down a lot. And you know, how low is oil really going to go? I don't think too much lower. But this is where you want to be. That, you know, if you're looking for an ETF like that, that's what you want to be in, not something like UCO.
Because I know that you guys don't recommend to put a lot, one lump sum, but I'm planning to put a lot of money in one oil.
Okay.
That's why I call.
Okay, yeah. That if you want to put money in oil, I mean, I wouldn't put it all right now. I'd put maybe a little bit in, maybe 25 to 40, maybe 50% of your position now. But I would much rather do OIH than UCO, USO, anything like that. Buy something that pays you a decent dividend and has some upside to it.
Okay. And one last question.
Sure.
What do you see the support line for USO, for number-wise?
For USO? I would say double bottom. Double where it was middle of last month, that's support right there.
Middle
of last month.
Did it break the support already?
No, it didn't break today. It didn't break today. It's where the low yesterday. I'm trying to bring up my charts, but the low of last month. That should be your out, because that's good support. Thanks, man. Let's go to James in Sonoma. How you doing, James?
I'm doing fine today. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Don D O N. It's a WisdomTree mid cap dividend fund.
Okay.
And the reason I'm sort of interested in it is I'm a dividend guy. I've called the program before, but almost all, in fact, I would say all, of my stocks, of course, are mega cap, big cap. I just bought another position in Chevron. I heard you talking to that, the previous caller. Mm-hmm. Bought another position in Chevron today. But this is, I would go in an IRA because 15% of it is does have REITs. I'm interested in what is your opinion of these type of funds. I know Schwab has one that's a dividend fund, but what is your opinion of these type of funds that have a 35% cost, but it does pay a little over 2%? It pays monthly. That's sort of intriguing.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those smart beta plays. You're playing a broad index, the mid-cap index, but it's weighting towards only the dividend payers, and that's why it can yield, looks about a little over 2.5%, which is a decent dividend. I think it's a good fund. You know, expense ratio of 38 basis points, it's fairly low. It's going to be volatile, though. Don't think that, this is one of those safe plays just because it's a dividend play. This does have, it's a mid-cap, so they're going to be more volatile. You could easily see this go down 30, 40% in a recession. Don't think you can. So if you have that understanding in mind, I would buy it. But, if you can't handle that type of volatility, then I would stay away from it. Thanks, James. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And our talking point today is about 2015 and what people's resolutions are for the year. And this is an article from Morningstar. And they've polled a lot of their readers about their investing New Year's resolutions for 2015. And I like a lot of them because they go back to really important aspects of investing. And the first one from DBS Michigan says, "When I get exuberant and forget basic overall portfolio balance, it eventually bites. So for 2015, I'm resolved to rebalance appropriately for this stage of the cycle. And as the Santa rally eases, that would be a good time to start." So rebalancing your portfolio. And I think that's important. A lot of people, they stick with the things that have been doing well, right? They hold on to the things that are doing well and they sell the things that are been doing crappy. But actually, there's some intricacies to this, but usually when a certain asset class is doing really, really well and another one's doing poorly, over time, they're going to go back the other way. It's just the nature of reverting to mean. So rebalancing your portfolio and understanding that you need to have a balanced portfolio that can take advantage of markets, right? And like I've always said, opportunity sometimes is to sell. It's not always just to buy. And so sometimes you can take this opportunity now to sell the things that have done well, maybe look a little overvalued, maybe not completely, but cut them back, and go back to the ones, look at your losers. Are your losers losing because the reason you bought them has changed? Or are they just kind of down their luck and they're still the fundamentals of the company, fundamentals of that industry remain intact, and maybe you need to rebalance your portfolio back towards them a little bit more. And then there are some other readers. Jahimlin said he wants to sell some of his funds and get out of high risk and into more conservative funds. Kind of the same thing. High risk is unwell. How long can high risk stay hot? Probably not very much longer without, significant pullback in the market. Maybe not a bear market, possibly a bear market, but maybe just a 10% drop. We still haven't had that. Got close in October, but we still have not had a 10% drop in the S&P in a long, long time. What else? Wilt 65 said, "For 2015, I hope to consolidate my portfolio and whittle it down to a more manageable number of funds while still keeping a proper asset allocation for my situation. He says, I seem to have become a fund collector over the past few years with some unnecessary overlap." I think that's very important. A lot of people do that. We see that a lot in new clients that come aboard with us, that they have way too many funds. They don't know why they bought, they own that many funds. They probably just did a little research one day, or their friend told them about a particular stock or a mutual fund that they had, and they had X amount of cash in their portfolio, and they went out and bought it. Not understanding they might own something similar in their portfolio, how that changes their risk profile. They don't understand. There's no rhyme or reason to why they had that particular setup. So consolidating your holdings into a more manageable number I think is very important. Nobody should have more than, I think, 15 mutual funds in an account. 15 is about the max, I would say. On stocks, I think 40 is probably the high end, 40 to 50. Yeah, say 50. Let's give it 50. Nice round number. 50. You shouldn't have more than 50 stocks. If you do, you're dabbling too much. You don't really understand the names you own, probably. You don't understand how they all fit together and what you're weighting in different industries, things like that. What else? Retired Gary said, my main resolutions are to be true to our strategy of diversification and taking a long view, to spend time on investments only when I need to, and continue ignoring both experts and people who have something to sell. That's big. Ignoring the experts, because truly, experts are, it's just an educated opinion. And you can have an educated opinion. You just have to get educated. It's really that simple. So, you know, those are a few of the resolutions that investors have. I have a few more. Actually, let me finish them up. Mitch Miller says that for the new year, he is relocating from California, which is a state income tax, and where capital gains are taxed as income with the highest marginal rate at 13.3%, to Nevada, where there is no capital gains tax and no state income tax. He says, I'm amazed that so many people are concerned about fund fees while ignoring the long-term compounding implications of state income taxes. I think it's very smart, avoiding taxes, especially here in California. If you want to relocate, I have nothing against it. I think the taxes here in California are outrageous, highest in the country. Not a bad resolution. And then finally, he wrote, my resolution is to get a grip. He said, we blew our budget out of the water last year with a second home purchase, major home renovations, and travel. Now it's time to steady the ship a little, spend as fun for most of us. It can only go on for so long. So we'll be better this year, promise. And so I think that's a great resolution to have. Spend wiser. Spend wiser. Let's go to Rabish in Sunnyvale. How you doing, Rabish?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. What can you do for you?
Yeah, actually, I'm looking for NVDA.
Okay.
What's your opinion on that from long-term perspective?
All right, he's looking at NVIDIA. They are a chip manufacturer. They manufacture graphic processing units used in personal computers, workstations, game consoles, and mobile devices as well. This is a company that's been around for a long time. They've kind of had their ups and downs. You know, 2008, they made $1.56. Then in 2009, they went all the way down to 42 cents a share. Slowly, and then bottomed out in 2010 at 27 cents a share. Slowly built themselves back up 2012 to $1.19, then back down to a little less than a dollar last year. This year, they're supposed to make $1.06. Next year, $1.16. So it's a very volatile earnings picture for NVIDIA over the long term. And I tend to not like those type of names. I like names that have pretty steady earnings growth. And NVIDIA is not one of those names. Now, recently, they've been doing pretty well. Last three quarters, earnings have been growing, or sales have been growing at about 15% year-over-year clip. Earnings in the about 50% range. So, you know, that's the positive. The negative is that, you know, historically, that good earnings momentum can disappear quickly. So is there something about NVIDIA, the fact that they make graphic processors, and, you know, what is it about NVIDIA that intrigues you so much?
Actually, I was looking, I think the way they are, if you look at the way they are expanding their business into, they are moving away from, actually they are leaders into this graphics on the computers and all, but they are moving away, they are expanding into the mobile side and the automobile side.
Okay.
So that makes their business pretty diversified, and that's where I see that. That's what I think, that they should have a good potential in long term in terms of the steady revenue stream across these three business lines.
I like that. I like what you're saying. I think that is that's one of the best answers I've actually ever heard on the show when I ask somebody why they like a particular company, and that is a very succinct, coherent reason of why you have a bullish view on this company. And that's the type of view that everybody should try to squeeze out of a name when they're looking at a company. Why do you think it's going to be good longer term? And that is a very good reason. You know, computers are expanding into every aspect of our lives, from cars to mobile phones and all types of ways. And you know, good graphics are important nowadays. You can't run on DOS, right? It's not. We're far past that age. Nothing's ever going to run that anymore. And I think NVIDIA is poised to capitalize on that. And I like what you're saying. Value-wise, it's about a 15 PE, which isn't too dramatic, I don't think. Yields about 1.7%. I like that it yields. It has some sort of a yield. And not only that, but the dividend is increasing. It went from 8 cents in 2013 to 31 cents last year, 34 cents trailing 12 months. They increased their dividend late in 2013, and they're probably going to do it, I would guess, coming up here in the near future. And a modest amount of debt. So I'm going to say yes. I like NVIDIA. I like what you're saying, Rabish, and I would buy it. I think long term you have a good case, and it's I wouldn't say it's really super undervalued, but it's not overvalued either.
Yeah, actually, other thing which I was thinking also, and I want to validate with you, mm-hmm. is that they have launched this a tablet, mm-hmm. Which is in a range of $299, mm-hmm. especially focusing highly optimized for the games.
Okay.
So that's another area where. Because they are leaders in terms of the graphics cards and all, which is more towards gaming and all.
Yep.
So that is where another area where I like that over a long term, where everything on the cloud and the gaming tablet devices are, which will be very specially designed for the gaming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That market segment should be good for them to increase their revenue. So what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think that's great because a lot of their sales do come from. The graphics cards that are built into the Xbox and I believe the PlayStation as well, and that's while that's still a viable market, a lot of the growth is in moving into mobile gaming and they need to find a way to take advantage of that and be a player in that space. And I think that's a start. Maybe is it the best way to get into that space. Maybe not. Maybe it's a competitor that they can partner with, right? That is building mobile gaming platforms. So going out on their own, I think, is a little more risk to it. But what I do like is that they see that, they understand it, and they're trying to address it. Maybe it's not the best way to address it, but if it isn't, the odds are good that they'll still find a way to be a player in that market, whether it's through this. Particular device, or it'll be another, like you said, a partnership with another company that may bear fruit. So I like their direction, and I like where you're going with it.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks for calling. That was NVIDIA. NVDA is the symbol, and one of the best calls I've heard. I would say all year, but this is the first show I've done all year. But one of the best calls I've heard in a long, long time. Now start the new year off by getting your retirement portfolio in order. We have two new dates for portfolio reviews in Southern California. Steve will be in San Diego County January 13th and at our home office in Dana Point on January 15th to meet with potential our listeners and potential clients and current clients as well. So if you're listening and you want to meet with Steve, all you have to do is go to investtalk.com, click on the schedule a meeting button, and let us know when you want to meet, and we will set up that time for you. Now, if you're out of range of these locations, we can also schedule meetings via Skype or telephone.
Why not sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider? Steve has a new info sheet on psychology and investing. Investing is as much about psychology as it is about numbers and economics. It's the latest offering for InvestTalk Insiders. Why not sign up yourself? It's free on InvestTalk.com.
888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. Now, CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, is underway in Las Vegas, and there's a lot of innovation that is and products that are released during that time. And one of the most interesting ones so far is from Dish Network, the satellite cable provider. And they're prepared to launch what do they call Sling TV. Sling TV, it's a bundle of channels, including ESPN, CNN, and they're going to deliver it via internet to subscribers. Now, Sling's core package will cost just $20 a month, far less than most cable packages. And this is just another win for potential cord cutters, making it that much easier to cancel pricey TV subscriptions. Now, Time Warner recently announced that HBO will soon be available as a standalone web service. And the new offerings were announced, like I said, at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas and expected to be launched in the first quarter of this year. Now, it's going to be a per-person subscription, like Spotify, kind of, not a per-household subscription. So it's kind of a little bit different. It's probably more for the person that lives alone, right? Because there's probably not going to be multiple people in the house trying to watch TV at the same time. And it's going to include a lot of popular channels. Like I said, including ESPN, ESPN2, but not some of ESPN's other channels, like ESPNU and ESPN News, things like that. You know, there's a lot of ESPN channels now, and you only get two of them. But you also get ABC Family, Disney Channel, Food Network, HGTV, Travel Channel, Time Warner's, TNT, TBS, Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, and CNN. And there will all be some add-on packages as well that you can get, like Bloomberg TV, Cooking Channel, Do It DIY. It won't include MTV, Bravo, CBS, or NBC. So, you know, this is one of those things where if you want sports still, you'll probably get this. This will be good for you because, well, I know me, I only have cable because of sports. And now you get that. So it's just one more move away from cable companies and towards the internet TV. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Distribution of our InvestTalk podcast is made possible by KPP Financial. If you're an InvestTalk insider, then you already received Steve's latest portfolio management piece called Psychology and Investing. And it's the latest offering for InvestTalk insiders. Why don't include yourself in the list? It's free. Just go to investtalk.com and sign up.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Here's a question from someone who follows us on Twitter. Henning says, building a college stock portfolio for my one-year-old, considering HAIN, H-A-I-N, for growth, view on some price points for H-A-I-N. Now, this is HAIN Celestial Group. They manufacture and distribute natural and organic food products and personal care products. They've been growing pretty rapidly. In 2010, they made 51 cents a share. And last year, they made $1.59, going to make $1.92 this year, $2.10 next year. So it's a growth name. $5.6 billion market cap, so pretty decent-sized company now after this growth. No yield, modest amount of debt, growing its revenues in the 25 to 30% clip, and earnings maybe a little bit higher than that, touch higher than that. Good buy point. What's a good buy point? I would say back in the low 40s, it's at $55 a share right now. I think it's a little overvalued at this point. Maybe not dramatically overvalued, but it is slightly overvalued. The P right now is about 34. The five-year P range is 17 to 37, so it's at the high end of that range. Free cash flow is about $100 million a year. That puts the free cash flow yield at something like 2%, 1.5%. That's pretty low. It's a low free cash flow yield. Now, it is a growing name, so you're going to have to pay up for it, but I wouldn't pay this much up for it. So I would look for a discount on this name back into the low 40s, and that's where I would pick up H-A-I-N, HAIN Celestial, and look for it there. Now let's take a quick look at some predictions from Byron Wien. Byron Wien is the vice chair of the Blackstone Advisory Partners. BX is a symbol. And he issued a list of surprises for 2015. This is the 30th year he has given his view on a number of economic, financial, and political surprises for the coming year. And he defines a surprise as an event which the average investor would only assign a 1 out of 3 chance of taking place, but which Byron believes is probable, having a better than 50% chance of happening. So the first one is, he does not believe, he believes the Federal Reserve will raise short-term interest rates well before the middle of the year. So probably beginning of second quarter, end of first quarter, something like that. And he says the end of monetary accommodation and rising interest rates precipitate a correction in equities. Long-term treasury rates stay where they started and the yield curve flattens. So he's predicting a correction in the market. I don't think he's saying a bear market, but he's definitely saying a correction over 10%. And I think he's probably right. I think he's definitely right. I think there will be a correction at some point this year. I think it'll probably be earlier in the year, probably closer to earlier in the year than the latter part of the year, just because I think the market will kind of freak out once the Fed starts to raise interest rates, and that'll start putting the Fed on pause and maybe even bring the Fed funds rate back down to 0%. Now, number two, he says, our luck runs out on cyber terrorism. Hackers invade the personal and corporate accounts of major central banks, money center bank, and the Federal Reserve orders the institution to suspend transactions for five business days as the accuracy of its balances are verified. So a major hacking of, you know, big bank like JP Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, something like that. And he says various government departments and agencies are mobilized to deal with the problem caused by the hackers having proved to be more skillful than our corporate cybersecurity efforts. I think this is possible. Is it better than 50% chance? I think it's better 50% chance at some point, maybe in the next 5 years, but maybe not this year. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I like where he's thinking because, you know, it's becoming a bigger and bigger threat. He also says that he thinks the market will go up 15% during the year. I'm a little ho-hum on that. He says the Japan shock and awe QE is no longer going to work. China's going to have a hard landing. Brent crude slips below into the 40s, which is not hard to see. So many others, but maybe I'll talk about them coming up this week. Now, before we close the hour, you're invited to use our risk analysis tool whenever you get a chance. It's free, and it takes just about 5 minutes to complete. It can be an eye-opener. Just look at the blue box on the homepage on investtalk.com. I'm portfolio manager Justin Klein, and for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and let's do this again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.